Next presentation will be interactions of nitrogen fertilization seeding rates and irrigation regimes on cotton growth and lint production. The presenter will be Bill Pettigrew. Okay, they're asking me to use the mouse and the laser, and I guess just that.
Right. Thank you, Bob. With this current situation of low prices and relatively stagnant prices compared to some of the other commodities, it's been a challenge for some of our cotton producers to make a profit these days. Also during this period of lower cotton prices, our expenses for inputs have continued to go up. Therefore, it's more important for our producers to make the most efficient use of any of the inputs that they're bringing to their production system as possible. And two of the inputs that have seen increases in prices in recent years has been irrigation and nitrogen fertilization, and both of these are tied to the price of fossil fuels. Many of our irrigation pumps are being run off diesel, and nitrogen fertilization is made from natural gas. An additional input that has seen some price increases in recent years has been the price for seed. This is tied to the cost of the technology feeds that are associated with the various transgenic traits that we like to have in our seed package, and also to some of the more elaborate seed treatment costs here. So with this research, we try to take a look at how varying irrigation regimes, nitrogen fertility rates, and seeding rates interacted to impact cotton growth and development, lint production, and fiber quality. So we set out to do this experiment in 2013. We planted it on April 16th, 2013. This was a randomized complete block experimental design with a modified split plot treatment arrangement. We had six replicates, and the variety that we planted was one of the newer Delta Pine varieties, 1321B2RF. Our main plot for this study were our irrigation regimes, and our split plots were the seeding rates and nitrogen fertility rates, arranged in a factorial manner. We had two irrigation regimes. It was basically an irrigated versus dry land comparison. We put out three furrow irrigations this year for our irrigated treatment. Three nitrogen fertility levels, a 0, 50, and 100 pounds of nitrogen applied per acre for this study. And we had four seeding rates, one plant per foot of row, two plants per foot of row, three or four plants per foot of rows. And these were on a 40-inch rows, and so they gave us a plant density of 13, 26, 39, all up to 52,000 plants per acre. The data that we collected, dry matter partitioning at a couple of different times during the growing season, canopy light interception readings, although I won't be presenting any of that data today, we don't have that completely analyzed. Leaf chlorophyll concentration levels, lint yield components, and fiber quality. Our seeding rates did not interact with either our irrigation regimes or our nitrogen fertility rates for any of the traits that I'm going to be presenting today. Therefore, I'm averaging my nitrogen and my irrigation means across the seeding rates, and the seeding rates will be averaged across the nitrogen and the irrigation regimes. At our first dry matter harvest, we had only put out one irrigation at this particular point in time here. So although we actually have some statistically significant irrigation effects here, they are minor. But nonetheless, when we irrigated, we ended at this point in time here, we had a plant that was approximately 9% taller than our dry land plants, with 5% more main stem nodes and about 30% larger leaf area index compared to our dry land plants. Similar to our irrigation regimes, our nitrogen fertility treatments at this early point in the season really hadn't had the point to really manifest themselves to get a really dramatic response here, but we still saw that our highest rate of nitrogen fertility, which was 100 pounds of nitrogen per acre, was about 9% taller than our plots that did not get any nitrogen fertilization. But none of the other dry matter partitioning traits were affected by that at this point in time. By our later dry matter harvest, which was occurring roughly around cutout for us, we had some pretty dramatic irrigation and nitrogen fertility rates on our dry matter partitioning. Irrigated plants were approximately 30% taller than our non-irrigated at this point, with about 8% more main stem nodes produced than our dry land plots, and about 40% greater leaf area index compared to our dry land plots. Slightly in contrast, we find that the Pacific leaf weight is 14% lower in our irrigated plants. Now, our Pacific leaf weight is an estimate of the plant, of the leaf thickness or density. And what we have going on with our plants that have not gotten the irrigation is that there's not sufficient moisture to optimally drive our cell elongation or expansion and leaf area expansion. So we're ending up with a more compact leaf under smaller, more compact leaf under our dry land conditions compared to our irrigated plots. Nitrogen gave us a good response at this point here. Our highest rate of nitrogen fertility was approximately 20% taller than our non-fertilized plots, with about 6% more main stem nodes, and again about a 40% greater leaf area index compared to the unfertilized plots. Looking at some of our seeding rate effects here, at this point, this is the early season dry matter harvest, and at this point our highest plant density, the 4 plants per foot of row, was approximately 18% taller than our 1 plant per foot seeding rate here, with about 15% more main stem nodes, and I believe that's about a 300% increase in the leaf area index compared to our lower seeding rate here. Now, what's going on with this dramatically increased leaf area index is basically we have more plants, more biomass per unit ground area in that higher seeding rate than what we have in the lower seeding rates. Now, the taller plants with more main stem nodes, this is a classic growth response to the plants sensing a degree of carbon starvation, if you will, or insufficient sunlight. Basically, what these plants are doing in this higher plant density is there's such an increased interplant competition within the row here that the plants are trying to grow taller so they can intercept more sunlight and thereby fix more carbon at this stage of the year. Later on in the growing season, again, this was about cutout, we see a reverse in it. Here, the plants in the higher plant density are about 16% shorter than the plants at the lower plant density. The number of main stem nodes is approximately 10% lower than the low plant density, but they still maintain this higher leaf area index, and it's about 50% higher than our 1 plant per foot of row. At this point in time, these plants at the higher plant density were at cutout or approaching cutout, while the plants at the lower plant density We're still growing vegetatively, adding additional height and more main stem nodes. Looking at some of our leaf chlorophyll levels here, our irrigated plants had approximately a 19% lower leaf chlorophyll concentration compared to our dry land plants here, but there was no impact on the chlorophyll A to B ratio. Thinking back to what I said about the Pacific leaf weights, that higher Pacific leaf weight for the plants in the dry, that weren't in the dry land conditions, that's a denser leaf, which can theoretically contain more chlorophyll than an irrigated leaf. Nitrogen fertilization increased our leaf chlorophyll levels about 28% compared to the non-fertilized. This is not surprising considering that nitrogen is a component of the chlorophyll molecule. A good bit of that increase came at the came about because of increased chlorophyll B levels, seen with the it's about a 6% reduction in the chlorophyll A to B ratio under our high fertilized conditions. Varying the seeding rate didn't have any impact on the chlorophyll concentrations at all, or the chlorophyll A to B ratio. Getting around to our lint yields. First off, I want to say that we had an outstanding yield for this year. Yield production was the best I've ever seen it since I've been working at Stonebull here over the past 25 years. Also, we were able to miss enough rains this growing season that we were able to get a irrigation response, but this irrigation response varied depending upon the level of nitrogen fertility that we had out here. Now we have two LSD values here. This first LSD value is for comparing nitrogen fertility rates within an individual irrigation regime, and this bottom LSD is for comparing the irrigation regimes across the individual nitrogen treatments. When we did not put out nitrogen fertilization, we did not get a statistically significant irrigation response. When we did put out nitrogen fertilization at the 50 pounds per acre, we were able to get about a 330 pound per acre lint yield increase. When we put out nitrogen at the 100 pounds per acre, we were able to get about a 430 pounds per acre increase in our lint production. So the more nitrogen that we were able to put out, the more efficient we were able to utilize our irrigation water. Now, when we did not irrigate, when we put out that first 50 pounds of nitrogen per acre, I believe we increased our lint yield production about 320 pounds compared to an increase of about 470 pounds when it was irrigated. The second increment of nitrogen fertility under our dry land conditions only increased lint yield production about 160 pounds, whereas under the irrigated conditions we were able to increase our lint yield production another 260 pounds. So we're getting a tapering off of our lint yield under both the irrigated and dry land conditions, but that tapering off is much more dramatic under the dry land conditions compared to our irrigated conditions here. Moving on, looking at our seeding rates here, three plants per foot of row here was our optimum seeding rate that we saw. No difference going up to the higher four plants per foot. A little bit surprised that we had a decrease in yield at our two plants per foot seeding rate, because in an earlier study we were able to show no difference in a final plant density between 1.5 plants per foot and 3 plants per foot. The difference between those two studies is that first study was a final plant density, and that's where we went in and overseeded and then came in and hand thinned everything back to a uniform final plant density. With this study, we set our planter to drop 1, 2, 3, or 4 seeds per foot of row, and then took whatever our emerging and surviving stand happened to be. And so considering the higher, the increased rain and low temperatures that we had after planting, we probably had, well, I know we had some level of seedling disease that took out some of our plant stands, and we probably didn't end up with a final plant stand of 2 plants per foot there. Wasn't any great effect on our fiber quality we saw. We did see about a 2% increase in fiber strength from our highest rate of nitrogen fertility. Irrigation increased our fiber length about 3%, and the high rate of nitrogen fertility also increased it about 2%. Quickly running through the conclusions, nitrogen fertility and irrigation increased our plant biomass and canopy light interceptions. High seeding rate plants were tall early in the season, but they ended up being the shorter plants later on. Nitrogen fertility increased chlorophyll concentration. Dryland plants had a higher chlorophyll concentration than our lower ones. Irrigation was only beneficial when nitrogen fertility was also applied, and nitrogen fertilization was most effective when the irrigation was applied. 3 plants per foot was our optimal seeding rate, and that's pretty much been accepted for most of the time. And I guess I'll probably end it up right now here, since I seem to be out of time.
Okay. There's a quick question. We can take it. Otherwise, we'll wait until after the break. Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah.